Episode 45 here of the Church Digital Podcast. If nothing else, I'm transparent, open, and honest. Because when I give bad advice to people, I at least admit it on public record so that everyone can hear it. So here's where we are. We're bringing in two people into this conversation here. Evan Conley, who is IT director / becoming online pastor there at Lighthouse Church, as well as Joey Santos from Christ Church. Now, here's where we are. Both of these guys are doing some unique, innovative things involving video in worship at micro locations and even multi-site locations. And so about a year ago, Evan Conley asked my advice on something. And it was the first time I'd met him, and I gave him advice. And my advice was horribly, horribly wrong. And thankfully, Evan and his church didn't listen to me and instead did what they wanted to do anyway. And then God did something phenomenal with it. So there's fun stories, some awesome conversations centering around video worship, video teaching, and also a level of innovation here in the core of really what Church Online needs to be about. So check out this podcast. Here you go. Yeah, so like I owe Evan an apology, which is weird to kind of open up with, but like, so a year ago, first time I met him, maybe it was 15 months ago, I was talking with him. He's, you know, asking my advice on some things with Church Online, whatever. And and he says to me, he says, yeah, we're doing like looking to like launch some of our microsite, basically, you know, a smaller campus, smaller multi-site campus with video worship. And just in the moment being non-innovative, non-creative, whatever, I'm like, I don't think I said this, but in my mind, I was like, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. and I can remember because, and I'm pulling that from like, I just Granger up in Indiana, tried this maybe a decade ago with one of their campuses. And I just remember the stories of where the video delivery system failed launch week. They literally had no pastor. They had no worship. And because it was all video based and the streaming system failed, and they had a campus pastor on stage, I don't know, doing a song and a dance number, trying to stall, and it never got up. And so like the first week was this giant flop. And so I had that in my head, you know, not taking into consideration streaming has gotten so much more effective. Video has gotten so much tighter. And so then like a year later, I see Evan talking to him, and he's like, hey, that video venue campus is going great. And I felt like a total, you know, jerk for telling him that's the stupidest idea when it works. All of a sudden I catch up with Joey and hear from him, like, you're doing church in a bar with video. And I'm like, wait, so this whole thing of video worship is working? And I wanted to have that conversation. I wanted to unpack a little bit here, because we got two different churches, not connected in any way, who are being effective in creating micro locations, small locations, multi-site locations, maybe, in context of video. And so I wanted to hear some stories. What does it look like? How's it been receptive? Kind of what are you learning and experiencing by doing, you know, the musical form of worship via video? Mm-hmm. Evan, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned the tech issues, because that is something we experienced very early on as we were still figuring out our system. So one of the things for us that seems to help is the fact that we have a Saturday service as well as our broadcast campus. So what we do is we actually have that get uploaded to a cloud storage server, and we download that in the morning.
Okay.
So that way we have a physical copy of a backup sermon. We have worship and all that. And I think it was our second week in, we actually had to go over to that backup. And there was a little bit, where things would be referenced to this evening, that kind of thing. But if we hadn't had that, you know, second week into the campus, I don't know what that would have done as far as momentum and the feel of that campus. So having a backup system has been really huge. But as long as we've been able to get the signal there, everything's been great. We didn't know what to expect. And I remember that conversation we had. So that was in my head going into this too. I was like, I don't know. I think what you told me was keep me updated on that, because I haven't heard of that going well. I'm curious to hear how that goes. And so I've got that in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm down there, I think, for the first month. And so every week I'm just kind of looking around the audience during worship, thinking about that. I'm like, are they into this? How's this going? And I was blown away. You know, you see hands up during worship, and it just, you really feel like the audience is connected with what's going on. If the worship leader would pause and pray, they'd bow their heads, you know, they'd clap to respond to things. It really felt like there was a worship team on stage, and I was blown away. It wasn't what I expected. So
awesome. Hey, Joey, what does it look like? What's, cause you're in a, and I said that quickly, people may have thought I was joking. You're literally doing church in a bar.
Yeah.
So let's unpack that a little bit and kind of share what that looks like.
Yeah. And we started with the online campus idea, with a full engagement, like what's online church would look like by providing full engagement to people. And we kind of developed this kind of four levels of engagement, and the fourth level lands on the one-on-one experience that is, you know, when you go from online to offline, and that for us lands on the house campuses. So the idea is for somebody like, this is my church, this is where I want to worship. And if I'm going to do this, my house, I'm going to bring friends, I'm going to bring my family, and we're going to do this together. So that's what the idea of a house campus is for us, kind of as a part of this engagement process. And then, you know, there's this bar like 10 miles from our church, and the owners of the bar go to our church. And we talked about, you know, what it would look like to have a church at the bar. Well, let's take the house campus model and just take it to the bar. And that's what we did. It's usually is on in our second service. We have two services on Sunday. Our second service is at the bar. Our opening day, we had 65 people show up to have a church at the bar. It took a little bit, though, to kind of like introduce the community, the idea. I mean, we did a couple of public events at the bar to introduce, say, hey, we're going to meet here. We're going to worship here. It's about community. And that's one of the focus of the church at the bar is not to try to replicate the environment that we have in a physical church. It's really to be a place of community. People go to the bar to do what? Drink and talk. So we wanted the church at the bar to be a place where you go learn the Bible and talk. So that's pretty much what we did. And it's going pretty well. It goes up and down, but we see people come in. I was there last Sunday, because I usually host online every Sunday, but I have I'm second host now. And so I had a chance to actually worship at the bar Sunday. And I met this young man, who came to me and said, hey, I see you on the TV all the time, but I'm glad you're here. We can meet in person. And he said, I've been coming for 6 weeks now. And I made a commitment to never step a foot in the church ever again because of my experience. But coming to the bar has been really good for me. And, you know, he's a single father, bring his daughter with him to the bar. And they worship together at 10:30 on Sundays. So it has been pretty good. To be very strategic, one of the things I do, we now add two worship singers to the schedule at the bar. They don't stand up front and lead. They stand up with everybody else and they just lead with their voices.
Okay. And so you're modeling the behavior. That's really smart. Okay.
Exactly. So instead of just like they stand up, they're going to be louder than everybody else. So, but they're on the schedule on Planning Center with the entire worship team. The only difference is that Sunday they're going to serve at the bar.
Okay.
And that also helps that to develop their relationship. So the bottom line for us is the bar is a place for relationships. Uh-huh. Like that's why we created that. And we're hoping that, you know, the combination between that and the online experience kind of brings that together.
Yeah. Now, so Joey, you've got so this is more of like, you mentioned like house church, and I've used micro church, micro location. Like, so this is a more elaborate model of that, like, you know, the average house church is probably 20 to 30 in an online context.
Yes. But
you got 65, right? So it's a house church at a bar.
Exactly. And I mean, that bar, if we get really crazy, and hopefully we will, I can have up to 400 people in it. So
wow,
I have a space to grow. But for example, like, here's a very interesting thing for our community. As I start to promote the Church to the Bar through social media, I discovered one very interesting thing. I did this A-B test with the ads, and I launched an ad with one content and the second ad with different content. And the first ad, I got no engagement at all, like no likes, no shares. And the second one, I got a lot of likes, shares, and actually messages in my inbox with, tell me more about the Church of the Bar. And you know what the difference was between the ads? The ads that I got more response did not have the church branding on it.
Okay.
So it's very interesting to see that people are willing, it feels like people are willing to learn more about it, to hear more about it, but they really kind of, there's a perception about religion that people actually don't want to be associated with. Mm-hmm. And the church name kind of carries that a little bit. So I just removed everything. I removed all the church branding from Church of the Bar. And it's part of our CC Live, what we call our online church. And it's part of our, it's a house campus. And they, when they walk in, they're going to watch a church service from Sunday, from a physical church. Mm-hmm. But I think that a first approach is different. So, and as a, here's where it gets different though. One thing that we're doing now, we're partnering with the bar to do community events. So like this Saturday, okay, we're doing a Friendsgiving. So the church of the bar and the bar are going to partner, and we're going to offer turkey and ham all afternoon, and people are bringing side dish, and we're going to have this big Thanksgiving meal available to the community. Anybody can come and have it.
Oh, that's cool.
And we talk about, you know, it's the church of the bar. And during that day, Saturday, we're going to put up two Christmas trees, and people be able to buy Christmas ornaments with as a donation for to end the nutrition crisis in local schools. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is really using that opportunity of the Church of the Bar, that's an online experience, to partner with a bar and help have the community kind of go out and be part of something irrelevant. It has been a very, it's a very like a new for us and organic things happening. You know, like we're just testing the grounds and see where it goes.
One more question, and I'm really anxious to hear kind of Evan's angle on this, but is the end game of the bar church to bar church? Is the end game more bar churches? Is the end game put all these people together into a brick and mortar campus? Like, what's the strategy move on how you're utilizing the micro?
The same strategy there is the strategy that the bar is the same strategy for any house campus. This bit, they can probably never step a foot in a physical church as we know ever again. We're okay with that.
Wow.
See, in our model of online church, if my next door neighbor that lives right by the church engages with us online and truly engage, he's on Bible studies, he gives, he participates, he never walks into our building, we're okay with that. Mm-hmm. Because that's his community. And we're going to make sure to give him all the spiritual nutrition that he needs online. And we'll give him community the way that fits him best. And we're okay with that. So our hope is that the church at the bar is going to grow. And that's going to be a place of community. And we're looking into possibilities right now in actually like a cigar bar. Where guys can get together, have Bible studies during the week. And do you know what? Here's the deal. It's the cheapest satellite campus growth we can put together because I don't have to pay for anything.
I tell you what, I may want to like join the cigar bar church. That's actually not a bad idea. I'm going to write that down. I might borrow that down here in Miami. Anybody want to open a cigar bar church? I am totally, totally in. My wife is not a fan of the idea at all, but I certainly am. So, well done. How many right now, Joey? How many micro campuses, house churches?
We have five in the U.S. We have four in Ghana, Africa, and we have one in Pakistan.
Okay, wow, Pakistan. Let's hold on that. I want to come back.
Okay,
Evan. So Centerville, But you guys are grow. You use the micro model as kind of a preface, an introduction to a multi-site. That was kind of the strategy there, right? What does that look like?
Yeah. So for us, it's trying to meet a bit of a different need. So we're not necessarily using it to reach people who normally would come to our normal church service. But for us, the reason that we started that to begin with our online broadcast on Facebook and YouTube, we were seeing week in week again comments from people who live in what's the Eastern Shore. So if you're not familiar with Maryland, we have the Eastern and the Western Shores, which are separated by the Chesapeake Bay. And then we have the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which especially during the summer, the traffic can be really rough. But we have people who are making that commute on a weekly basis to come to one of our campuses, mostly to our broadcast campus. But we also had a good number of people that we were seeing with online connect cards and in the comments who were saying week again, hey, we're watching from this area. We'd love to have even specifically asking, like, can you guys plant a campus over here? Like, we love what you're doing and we want to have this over here. Mm-hmm. But that was a challenge for us because we had never planted a campus that far away, and it was going to separate us as far as resources and the personnel that we send down. With that kind of commute, we couldn't support it in the same way that we support our campuses, which are closer to our central broadcast campus. And so we didn't think it'd start quite like it has, meeting in a high school. Originally, we were thinking maybe a fire hall or a library even. We thought we'd have, you know, if we needed to, we'd have two or three locations of maybe 20 to 30 people spread around the Eastern Shore, which is a pretty large area. But as we're going through and starting to scout out different locations, we held an interest meeting, and we had, I want to say 100, 120 people sign up to attend an interest meeting for this location. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, we realized it was going to be a little bigger than we thought. And so we went from looking for a fire hall or a library or that kind of thing to a larger venue, more similar to what we're used to. But unlike our normal game plan, we can't rotate our worship team into this location in the same way that we could. So we had to decide, like, could we still do video worship even with a location that resembles a lot more of any one of our locations? And we decided to give it a shot because really it was the only way we could facilitate what we felt like we were being called to do and
wow. The
location over there.
Your Centerville campus has how many people attending? I mean, at one point you told me it's around like 100, I think. Where are you at now?
So we're averaging around 150. We've peaked around 200, but the average tends to be around 150 people.
And it's at the location it's going to grow into, or is the plan to move somewhere else?
The plan for now is to stay where we're at. So we're at a high school, which has a pretty good sized auditorium. I think we could scale to around 500 people per service at this location. So there's definitely room for growth. It's a nice, convenient location. It's easily accessible, and it's been working really well for us. Plenty of room to grow. So for now, the plan is to stay there.
So you guys, you literally have 150 people. Is that two services of 75?
Yeah,
or is that one of
150 right now?
One service of 150 people sitting in a room being led musically in worship by watching a video screen.
Right. So the only time that someone's on stage is we have our host spot at the end of service where our campus pastor will come out and greet the audience, you know, tell them what's going on specifically with their location, that kind of thing. But just about everything they're seeing is happening on that projector screen.
Wow. We see it in church online. You see it with watching the individual, like a person watching, and I can totally see that. I've even like been in the house churches where it's 18 to 25 people worshiping with the TV. I just mentally struggle. I'm like, wow, there's 150 people. Like the video technology scales out that large. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, has there been any negative feedback? Has there been any like people asking questions? What did your lead pastor say when somebody like pitched that idea to him? I bet you that was a fun conversation.
You know what? He was all in on it. I'm trying to remember, you know, there are a few of us involved in the initial conversations, but I can't remember who necessarily pitched it first, but he didn't have any pushback on that at all.
Like, wow.
He was all in for that. He's all about trying new things and trying to break away from the traditional ways of doing things. And so I know our executive pastor, who's more operational focused and how is this actually going to work, he had more concerns on that. But yeah, our lead pastor was all for it. Yeah, it's been great. And I think, you know, being there for the first month or so as we launched it, it just occurred to me, you know, I'd sit in service and go out and see all the community happening in the foyer after. And I realized that it's not about what happens on the stage. You know, you can have that community regardless of whether you're watching a streamed service or whether you have live performers on the stage. And I mean, you can argue, like, is there a better worship experience? You know, just like any other worship element, you know, if you have better lights or if you're adding haze or this or that, like, maybe you can create a better environment for worship. But you can absolutely do church, in my opinion, in a to a very good amount of quality with a streamed service. It's the community that's happening. That's the church. Yeah.
It's really just interesting to see how maybe some of our internal biasness away from, you know, it's an extension of, I can't do video teaching. I have to have a live pastor in the room. You know, that next step is, I really can't do video worship. I have to have a live band. Well, maybe do you really? And it was funny. We had on, just a couple weeks ago, we had on, maybe a couple months ago, we had Jim Tomberlin, who's a multi-site solutions. He's one of the founders of the pioneers of the multi-site movement. And so we were actually talking a lot with him about this idea of video teaching and even like what it looked like from him back in like the 90s when he was at Willow Creek trying to pioneer, where he would literally put a VHS tape on a bus Saturday night, and a Greyhound bus, and it would be delivered to the other bus stop and somebody from the other campus would pick up that VHS tape. That's how they delivered video teaching week in and week out, VHS tape on a Greyhound bus. And a lot of the kickback that he had back then, and it was a great quote, he said, not everybody bought into it. And even with what you guys are doing, I don't think everybody's going to buy into it. But enough people bought into it to make it worthwhile, to make it effective. Yep. And when we look at, and that's really has been kind of the mantra for me for Church Online and micro locations and what you guys are doing, where not everybody's going to buy into this. And I'm done with the days of thinking that I've got to convince everybody that Church Online is.
Oh yeah, it never works.
You're not going to get there, but you got to convince enough people to make it worthwhile and show that it's going to impact enough people to make it worth the effort. And I think, honest to God, in my experience, that's not hard to show. You're not going to get everybody. And there are theological questions and things like that. At least the perception is there's theological questions. But at the end of the day, like this is a really awesome thing that you guys are doing. Hey, so Evan, tell me this, like with your strategy, do you have other kind of micro venues that are going to grow up using this video, or is this kind of a one-time thing? How has that conversation gone with your church, your staff, now seeing the success of what's happening at Centerville?
Yeah, sure. So we're starting to think more and more about what that's going to look like. We are definitely thinking about multi-site, probably starting at a smaller scale than this one did. We just happen to have that big base of people who are watching online or making the commute here. So we're exploring the idea of maybe finding someone who wants to host something in their own house or a local venue and just giving them a few resources to help facilitate something of their own. That's not something we're currently doing yet, but we're working through that. Been reading a little bit about what Saddleback does. Jake Kranda has a lot of information on what they're doing. Their approach is incredible. Just the scale that they're able to pull that kind of thing off is just amazing. So it's our first one, and we've learned a lot from it. We're probably going to try to do a similar thing, but on a smaller scale. This one is rapidly becoming its own campus. I mean, it's been designated a campus. So it started as a watch party, which would be our terminology for a microsite. And then I want to say it was like 8 or 10 weeks. We decided, you know, we've got over 100 people who are meeting here. This is a campus. So it went from the Eastern Shore watch party to LH Centerville in that short of a time. We don't think, though, that's going to be the normal process. So we're still working through, like, how do you support a group of 20 people or 30 people or that kind of thing. We did just find out maybe a month ago, just in the comments on our online feed, we had someone who was watching online. Over the summer, she had a friend who just kept inviting her. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to watch this. She started watching over the summer. And then just about a month ago, she works in a nursing home and she began sharing the service with her residents. And so we're seeing pretty much every week now, she checks in that she's got the service op for her residents. And so that wasn't anything we planned or anything that's official, but we've got, in a way, a multi-site, microsite location right there. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that kind of thing happen, we're like, you know, I mean, if people are even starting this on their own, even with Eastern Shore, we heard about, and this didn't come up until our interest meeting that we found out about it, but people in this area had gathered in a home and watched service together during a snowstorm that we didn't even know happened, maybe 20 or so people, just on their own organically formed, you know, microsite location. So we're seeing that it's happening, even if we don't do anything about it, and we're trying to think through, how do we support that? How do we do that in a way that's organized? Where do you draw the line of support? Because you can't give the same resources to a microsite that you would give to a 200 person campus, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully the support's not as needed because the resources, the model is much simpler. Yeah,
totally. What we're really looking at is making it kind of equivalent to how we'd see a small group. So, you know, our small groups, you've got some content you work through, whether that's a sermon study or another book or some kind of thing. And you're just really there to host people in your house. And so we're trying to see, like, as much as possible, can we just pull the same model that we use for small groups and kind of make that our microsite model?
That's awesome. Hey, Joey, how's the model kind of grown from you? Like, you've got five America, you got a couple international. Is it expats kind of down in that? Or I would love to just kind of maybe hear how the idea of micro grew out of online to gathering, clustering, to kind of where you are now.
Yeah, so we started with, you know, pushing for engagement and telling people, you know, you got to be in community. So if you're watching at your house and you decide this is my church, we always say, hey, just become a house campus and invite people in and have community. So we kind of like extract the kind of idea from Acts chapter 2 of where you break bread together, you worship together, and you go out and serve your community. Mm-hmm. And really, it really start from that idea. So the Bible, we have a seasonal online Bible studies right now. So we had the fall Bible studies, and all house campuses usually they join those Bible studies. They either like do on their own, or some of them just decide to join other people online, so they have a bigger community. But either way, the discipleship is a big factor into this. We really push for the discipleship piece. But I think for us, the expansion of that is really see it grow from what it is. We really don't have this big master plan of, okay, when you become a house campus, you have to reach this goal here so we can transition to the next phase. No, if that house is going to always have the 15 people meeting there, but they're growing spiritually, they're growing as a community, and they're serving the community, we wanted them to keep moving. We want to keep them moving forward in that direction. So we don't have this kind of master plan. One thing that we kind of feel yet, because everybody that has been baptized through the online church, they end up coming here. I mean, even from Canada, they want to fly all the way here so they feel like they, at least they've been to the physical campus once. And that's one thing I think is interesting about the online church is that because the current model, they feel really attached to the physical campus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So one of the things that I've been looking at is, and you and I kind of chat a little bit about that before, is should the model of the online church really kind of change? And I know this might be for another conversation, but the way I see it, the future of the online church may not be necessarily just stream the streaming of your Sunday service. Because that attachment to the physical campus can kind of like stop the online church from real growth, because people feel too attached to the physical campus that they cannot be in. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to look into that right now. Like I start to have some conversations about, even at the church at the bar, should we modify the model so people are not attached to the physical campus they cannot be in, but we produce the content that actually drive the house campuses to create their own environment and that fits them where they are, because mm-hmm. culturally every place is going to be different. That's one of the challenges that I see for the online church is people can be watching Ghana, Africa, but there's some things that's going to, it's about Ghana, Africa. And I cannot fulfill that, mm-hmm. those aspects of with the online church. So how I make the original responses is I just met another pastor from Pakistan a couple weeks ago. He was here in the U.S. and we had a great conversation, and he's telling me about the ways to reach out to their community. And he's thinking about going to the TV and all that. And I'm thinking, why don't you go online? And the thing that hit me was like, well, why don't we give you the support for you to start the online church right there in Pakistan, not from yeah. here, but you right there where you are, and you can reach out to your entire country.
Yeah.
And he never looked at it that way. He yeah. rather said, no, we can stream yours. I said, you know what, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But if you're on camera, you have the same infrastructure that I have here, but it's there is you and you're part of that culture. So that's what I'm saying. Like my brain starts to go to different places right now. Or what's next for the online church? Because I like Evan's model, what he's doing, because it really fits a need that they have there, and they grow from it, and you see the results of it, and you just like you experience that it's made for to meet their needs, and like every online church is not made the same, it's not created the same, right? It's not the same format. You want to feed everybody. So what I think for us, Jeff, is looking ahead and see culturally, how can we diversify? How can you make the online campus something that is really effective, bring relevant content to people's lives, bring Jesus to people who don't know him yet. And at the same time, allow people to build relevant, meaningful relationships through it.
The church, there's a perception that the church online today struggles to meet the perception of what today's church is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money that goes into creating the sound stages to allow you guys to produce the video that you do, the lighting, the cameras, the encoding gear. There's a lot of expense that's involved in that. There's a lot of technicality. It takes a lot to create the environment for the pastor to speak his message and to do all these things. And so it's like, yeah, church online struggles to do that. Not to mention that the way that both our worship and both our teaching are presented and broadcast, it's very easy to create a consumeristic identity, which is what we, the church, don't want. We don't want to create consumers. We want to create disciple makers who are capable of creating other disciples. But honestly, what's interesting at the end of that is it's not just the church online that has that issue, right? It's the church overall has that issue. Yeah. Many of the things that church online's faulted with in saying that, hey, you're responsible for this, so we don't want to do church online because we don't want lazy people sitting on couches. Cool. Let's not do church online. You'll have lazy people sitting on pews.
Yeah.
at the end of the day, you're still, it's that still model just being reproduced. It's my podcast. I can say that. just saying. But what, in fact, what church online is capable of, yeah, it may struggle with what the perception of what USA church is today. But I think it thrives when you look at the biblical model of what church is. Much of the things that we perceive as a biblical standard of church, I'm reading the Bible and it's not in there. Like when you look at the man standing on stage for 40 minutes preaching, There's value to that. And I don't want to discredit many of the pastors who are out there who, as their job, are the spiritual leaders of these organizations. But lead pastor is not a biblical position. The orators that stand on stage actually came more and closer to 300 or 400 AD. And in fact, at the time, culturally, they were the celebrities. Like, it was like the TV star who was on stage because they had so much value in the orator capacity in those speakers. And so a lot of the things that it's like, yeah, church online struggles with that. Okay, well, that's not really the core of what biblical is. And you know, Joey, some of the conversations that we've had is maybe it's a whole other thing. Yeah. And I think there's a whole other model of church that is waiting to be revealed. And once again, I don't want to disparage the model that's here, the church growth model in the big building, because I think it's done a lot of good, and it's reached people in a big way, and it will continue to do so. But I think there's another way. I think there's another model. It was interesting. Just today, I had a doctorate student, doctoral student, at a seminary to do a Zoom thing with me. Hit me up through the website. And honest to God, the conversation was, so I Googled how to plant a church digitally, and you came up. So can you talk to me about what planting churches digitally looks like? And I spent an hour educating, like challenging the way his paradigm of how he views. And it was funny, along the way, he too was like, yeah, that's not biblical. That's not the way that it is. But it's the standard that we've been so used to over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys, just to bring it even home, even you guys just challenging the paradigm of, I'm going to do church in a bar. I'm going to do church in a building, and we're not even going to bring a band in. We're just going to watch this via video. My gosh, if that type of model worked, and as we continue to see the success stories of how God's using these things, could you imagine the opportunities we have to expand the gospel and to literally put it in the communities that are reaching people that would not set foot in the church building? There's a phenomenal opportunity here. Honestly, if we would just get over ourselves a little bit and realize that God's bigger and it's more capable than I think we sometimes give them credit as.
Okay, so can I run the risk to sound like a real jerk for some churches here?
I'll cut this if I need to.
Are you okay with that? So I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. He's a big producer, and he produced some big guys, and he called me because he said, hey, I want to get your take on Kanye West and what's going on, because he actually might be involved in some production that will involve Kanye. And so it's like, before I jump into these, I want to hear from you. What do you think? And we talk about it because Kanye is doing this worship thing at his house.
Yeah.
And because my involvement in the online church, he wants my opinion. I said, you know what? I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just hanging there for a second. Sometimes feels that the church today is more like a real estate business than what church really supposed to be. We build these big infrastructure, these big buildings, and now the fight is we got to get enough people in and have enough activities, enough stuff going on, so people can see the value and give the money so we can pay the bills. And that's really, that's just a real estate business. So we got to build more, right? So let's build another building because the business is growing. And I know this is a very the black and white way of looking at it, but that becomes the priority.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention, sorry to cut you off, but there's a ticking time bomb, right? Because we keep buying more property, we keep building these bigger buildings, and at this point, we're tax exempt when it comes to property tax. Guess what? That's not gonna be that way forever.
That's what happened in north of Indianapolis. So the county came in and said, "We're done giving licenses to churches. We're done."
That's right.
Because they want a revenue. So what happened? Now the churches are trying to buy other churches to grow their multi-sites. So they're looking at churches that are like falling apart. So they can buy to preserve because they grandfather in. So they can actually preserve that Texas. Again, I'm not taking away the value of the physical church at all. I think the value is there. It has to be there. Exist is real. They add value to the community. But I think the priority shift a little bit. And again, you just read the book. If you read the book, Culture Trump's Strategy, you just get to a point where culture is doing that right now. Culture is then the church. The way we do church is not building value in my life. And I need to find that someplace else. And the place where they find that is the internet. That's what they're finding. So I don't need to go to my church to hear the message from my pastor every Sunday, because I can actually find that message in the internet somewhere, the same thing or probably better. And I have more options. So I think the sense of value has changed for the culture. So we got to look at ourselves in the church and ask the question, what is the value of someone walking into my building? And the same thing for us doing online. What is the value of someone tuning in online and participating in a church service? That's the question that keeps coming back to me. That's why I've been questioning the model we were doing it just by streaming our services. That's a really, like, it's good for us to ask those questions and trying to discover, you know, the answers. Like, what is it? What is actually drive people in? And why should they come in? That's it. Like, why people should come to my church? Because sometimes feels like the back door is wide open and the front door is just this little thing that nobody can get in. And I think a lot of churches in America today are going through this. I think they're asking that question. There's less people on the chairs. We don't know how to manage this. We don't know what to do. And guess what? We still have to pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
That's really now, do you know what I mean? And now it shifts the purpose of the church. Let's get people in so we can keep up with the mortgage. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, if we can sit in the room with no microphones and cameras and have these conversations, I think a lot of pastors say, man, I'm going through this right now.
Yeah.
Well, let's have the conversations.
Joey and I, and Evan, I'll get to you in one second. Joey and I, we were hanging out in Colorado. We met each other, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago. And Joey, I didn't tell you the story, but after I left you guys, I hung around for a couple of days for some other meetings, and I was driving around an Uber somewhere. I don't even know where I was, somewhere Denver area. There's a big giga church over here on the left. And I'm talking to the Uber driver and I just make some comment. Wow, that church is huge. This is it must've been like a 4,000 person venue. This is a giant church. And I was like, man, that church is beautiful. What church is that? This man starts F-bombing and copping an attitude at the mere idea of this church. And I'm not going to drop the name of the church. I don't even think I could remember it. But he was not happy about this church. And the perception at the end of this very diatribe that was coming out of his mouth was, that church has all the money, and look at what they spend it on. This glorious, beautiful building, and they don't give a crap about me. Joey Uber driver, whatever his name was. He just, they don't care. But that's the perception of this guy. It's like we build these castles that go towards, yes, good is done in the building. And I don't want to demean that or to speak ill of it, because it is an effective model, but not for everybody. And there needs to be other models to get out there and help. Evan, you were wanting to say something earlier.
I'm hearing Joey talk about this, I've just got this phrase that keeps coming to mind, and that's different content for different people. I think when you look at technology companies especially, everything is personalized. You know, when you go into Instagram and you're scrolling your feed, you're the only person who's going to see that exact feed. You've subscribed to certain things. Artificial intelligence is learning your preferences and what's best to show you. You know, no one is, it's not the same approach for everyone to give them the best experience. And I think in our context, that means, you know, we're not going to be able to do the exact same thing, replicate that at every location. The more we can personalize things, whether that's with a microsite, having a different approach for a different group of people, or online even, if we can find different ways to offer content differently for different people with where they're at and what they're going through, I think that's what the technology industry, probably just the world at large, is moving towards. And
yeah,
that's where we could get.
I tell you what, Joey, like I would be more interested in hearing about you reaching bar number two.
Okay.
And finding that niche. Yeah, we're going to be like the bar church.
Yeah.
And just, I remember, what's his name? Oh my gosh. Mark Batterson out at, it's actually out in your world, Evan, out at, was it National?
Yeah,
NCC, National Community Church. Yeah. Like back a decade ago, like he was the movie, pastor, the movie church pastor. Like, I think he actually had that .com.
I think there
that it was blogging through.
.com yeah. or something like that.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but because it's like, okay, so we're going to create our content. We're going to reach people in this. And that was his stick. Well, you know, he's bought coffee houses and things have moved on past then. But yeah, so once you find out how to reach people in the bar, man, knock on every bar in town and just try to replicate this model.
Well, see, the results we start seeing is out right now is the impact that the church is having on the staff of the bar.
Hmm. Didn't even think of that, but you are right.
And the owners start to point it out. So what they for example, the bar doesn't open until noon on Sunday. But he said they start seeing the staff come in early on Sunday now. And they start moving around, but they listen. The TVs are all on the service. So they start listening to it. Well, recently, they discovered that one person that worked in the bar for a long time just discovered has cancer.
Mm.
And so, you know, the bar is close to our house. We go there a lot, really. They have food trucks, and it's a great place to hang out. It's by the river, beautiful location. So I'm there on Sunday night to meet some friends, and I saw the guy. And listen, the bar is packed. We're in the middle of the patio, and I stop him and I say, "Hey, I just heard of what happened to you. How can I pray for you?" And he just told me. I didn't ask him if he was Christian. I didn't ask anything. He knows me. He knows I'm the online pastor who runs the church, the bar deal. And so he turned to me and said, "Man, if you can pray for peace." And I mean, he told the things, and I just lay hands and we pray for him right in the middle of the bar.
Mm.
Where people are like drinking and having conversations all around.
Wow.
We just pray right there. And when I was done praying, he got tears in his eyes and he's just like, so we're just doing this like church thing. Out, you know, at the bar, and we're getting known in the area by, you know, we have, so it was kind of funny because it was not weird for the people around to see us praying for him right there in the middle of the bar. And the staff, it was a big thing for the staff to see that happening. So we've been asked now lately to like, "Hey, two of the employees are leaving. Would you guys come and pray for them before," like things like that.
Wow.
"Would you guys come before they leave? This is their last day." I show up, they're having this thing. "Oh, let's stop. Let's pray for them."
You've become the church of the bar, man.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is a pretty kind of fun to watch that kind of development, because it's something that for the model we have today, these people need to make a decision to step into a church building to receive that. And that's not the case anymore. That we are there. We're going to pray for you. And it's no longer like, "Would you be okay if I pray for you?" No, we don't ask the questions like, "How can I pray for you?"
Hmm.
We kind of skip that step because this is who I am. Do you know what I mean? I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to pray for you, regardless if you like it or not. I'm going to pray for you. So I'm not going to ask you if you want me to pray for you. Yeah. I just want to say, how can I pray for you?
Give me something so that I can help. That's funny.
Exactly. And they like, it's kind of hard, right, for somebody to say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. People are usually not going to say that. They have the freedom to say it, but usually they won't say that. So I think that's the one of the impacts for us, like, to me, like, if we did all this to get this entire bar staff in a direction, in a path of becoming disciples of Christ, that's enough. That's sufficient for me for us to do all this. But I think God has a lot in store for us there.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of innovation in these conversations. And they're not, it's not big innovation. Like, Joey, you've got bars all over the city, finding the relationship, networking with the one. We built a, was it his idea or was it your idea? Whose idea was it to go into the bar?
That was my idea, because we talk about house campuses and I keep going, you know, I go to the bar and I was like, man, what do we look like to have a church at the bar? And
they got TVs everywhere. Like, I mean, yeah.
So he, and he literally, he was like, dude, do whatever you want. And they go to that bar, to the church at the bar, they're owners now. So that's where they attend.
Yeah.
And here's what happened this last Sunday. They broadcast on their Facebook page.
Come to church?
Yes. So that,
oh my bar, gosh.
The bar promotes the church on their Facebook page, and they rebroadcast our services on their Facebook page.
That is unbelievable.
I know. So,
But I guess my point is, like, this is such an innovative idea, but this is not an expensive idea.
Yeah.
We're not building anything, even Evan's stuff with broadcasting worship. It's a video encoder and using the infrastructure you already
have. It's $100 expense. It's a Apple TV box.
Okay, Apple TVs are more like $229 in fairness, but still, you can do a $40 Roku, I bet, if you're really gonna
do
your head.
Exactly, you can do that too.
But it's like, it's looking at what you have with fresh eyes, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, there's a concept, there's an idea, there's something here that's unique, that nobody's ever thought of in a way that is completely new. We recently did a podcast, and this is an elaborate story, but there's simpler ways to do this. We did a podcast with the guys over at Christ Fellowship West Palm Beach, and we talked with their pop-up church pastor, which is a weird thing. But essentially, they used to do like portable church, and one of their campuses shut down, so they still had all this like gear from the portable church. It didn't shut down, it became a permanent campus. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they had this like excess gear sitting around, and somebody came up with the idea, hey, what would it look like if we actually like just drove around the different neighborhoods and did church just, you know, different neighborhoods every week? Nobody in the country is doing pop-up church. Everybody talks about it. There's this rumor. These people are doing it, utilizing for the most part gear they already had, upgrading it. And yeah, Christ Fellowship West Palm Beach is very over the top production value. But yeah, what they've developed as a result of that is in 2020, next year, they're going to launch four campuses. They are on schedule to launch four campuses in 1 year because they are curating and cultivating and maturing this audience, this city, this community with the gospel right now. So like, they're going so fast, they're having to tell church some of these areas, hey, we're going to have to stop because we can't keep up. But we're going to come back and we're going to finish the job. Here's what we're doing. Here's how we can make it work.
See, what I like about this is look what Evan is doing. Look what we're doing here. Look at West Palm Beach Gardens. You can see that there is people looking out for the change, the innovation, the new, to get the word out. That's what I like about this, because there's this word that, you know, for a long time has been like a bad word in church, innovation. And we're finally getting to a point where there's enough guys, enough people get involved. They're innovators. They're being innovators for God.
Yep.
And I think it was about time for the church to set that tone.
Man, this has been a great conversation. I did not think we were going to land on innovation when I started this podcast, whatever it was, an hour ago. This has been really cool. I love this. This is great. Man, hey, Joey, Joey, any thoughts as we're landing the plane and wrapping up here?
Well, man, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out here. I mean, kind of miss you from that meeting in Colorado, and we spent some time together. It was kind of funny how we connect through Facebook, and all of a sudden we're in Colorado for that meeting and out of nowhere. But thank you so much. I I really pray that God continues to use people like you, Evan, all the churches that are like just jumping into innovation and be open to what God's doing, to what God is wants us to do, to not be just locked down into what has been, but what could be.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to take risks. Sometimes we got to be okay just to say, hey, it did not work out. But do you know what? We're not going to sit around but thinking what could have been. Yeah. We're going to just go ahead and try it out. So I'm saying I tell people, if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to write a book about the things that I tried to not work out. So it's a really thick book, because that's the things that we usually don't talk about, right? The things that we try to not work out, or people don't know. People look at, even like, people might be listening to this podcast and, man, you got it right to this church, the bar, you did everything right. Now you have no idea how many things we try and, you know, work, we change and we modify, we adjust and we move on.
Yeah.
So that's the things I think would be great for people to kind of continue to explore, continue to pursue, but let God take the lead.
There's so much good. Like, and I love having these conversations and meeting with guys like you. I was doing an online Bible study. I do an online Bible study with online pastors, some online pastors. And one of them canceled out. And long story short, he's like, yeah, I'm getting pulled into a budget conversation and, you know, vision casting and pray for me. And it's going to be an ugly conversation. And I've been there. I understand. I've sat in that seat. I know anybody who deals with online ministry has had those conversations, because leadership often doesn't see the vision, doesn't understand the purpose, doesn't align necessarily or loosely with what the church overall is doing. And so there's lots of questions in that. And so, and Joey, you alluded to a lot of it just there. Know that you're not alone. And that's, yeah, that's the one thing, just that when I was that guy, when I was in that seat, when I was the only person out of a large mega church that thought the way that I did, I had nothing but alone in me. I thought I was weird. I thought I didn't belong. And honestly, I managed to get myself into this dark place because I just thought I was different. And because these ideas were what I had, because nobody bought into them, it was, I'm not valid. There's something strange about me. You know, fast forward a year or so, everywhere I go, I meet the online pastor who thinks like that. And so the answer is, you're not alone. You're not wrong. You may not be the season where it's right yet, but that doesn't mean you stop. You keep having those conversations. You keep casting that vision. You keep fighting for what you can, because, and I can unsay this, the church, Big C Church, has shifted within the past year. Where it was 2018 versus 2019,
Absolutely.
From an outsider perspective, I can totally see it. And in conversations, yeah, I have with others, they see it too. And so where we go in 2020 and how we continue to press forward, man, it's you people out there listening to this podcast that are gonna swing that pendulum. You've got, yes, more power than you organizationally realize. It's just how to get the people, the church, the leadership to yeah, hear you. So, man, thanks for that, Joey. Evan, that was a long landing the plane there. Evan, landing the plane, any thoughts, man? Anything as we wrap up?
Yeah, so, I mean, just going off of what you just said, you know, I think it's so important that we, as a community, especially those who are trying to innovate within the church and in the online space, like, we have to stay in contact and we need to share what we're doing, because it's so easy to feel like you're alone. I remember a few years ago, when we first started having the conversations about offering online expressions of church and broadcasting, and first conversations about what would a microsite look like, it was much harder to get buy-in back then. And I did feel largely alone with it. At the time, I don't think there were many resources, but there was Jay Kranda from Saddleback and his blog. And I pulled so much information from that blog that I realized, you know, here's at least one church who's doing this really well. Here's, you know, some of the frameworks they use. And that really, without those resources and being able to see that there's someone else doing this, I don't know that our church would be doing what it's doing right now. So I think it's so important, you know, your podcast, your blog, Jeff, that you've started, those resources are just so important to constantly just be sharing whatever churches are doing, so you can see that you're not alone with this, and just learn from whatever churches are doing.
Yeah. Yep. And we're on my side, we're ramping up. 2020 is going to be a great year, man. This has been an incredible podcast once again. And I just want to thank you guys for taking the time jump on this. We're going to do stuff again. Evan, I've loved in engaging with you, and Joey, we're going to have to find some topics and some more time. I want to, man, there's several layers of stuff we've yet to unravel that are still needing some attention. So,
yes.
But we're going to break for now. For Evan, for Joey, my name is Jeff. Thanks everybody for being here, and we'll see you next time here at the Church Digital Podcast. Y'all have a good day.